Mr. Leo Routens. Hi, Leo. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's everybody?
Good. It is a great morning. We've got lots going on in the city. Of course, as we just mentioned, the Boston Red Sox are in town. Jays are 5-2 after that road trip. On that road trip in Minnie in New York, they take 2 out of 3 in the Bronx, so that's nice. And, of course, the big news here, it is do or die. This is the biggest game, and I know it probably feels like you've said this a million times, biggest game in franchise history, Raps Cavs Game 6 tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I mean, what a great opportunity for the Raptors, for the fans to see a game like this. The people across Canada, I mean, you know, ratings are going through the roof. More people are watching than ever. Everybody's jumping on. Everybody's excited. So, hey, to have an opportunity to tie the series up at home against the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and LeBron James, I mean, it's fantastic. And the one thing you have is the Raptors. You guys touched on it already, the resiliency of this team. That, you know, for whatever reason, and I've said, I think they're playing this. I think they're doing all this for ratings. I don't know what they're doing, but it just seems that whenever their backs up are against the wall, they seem to have their best performance. So let's hope we see that tonight.
Yeah, you don't often see a game where, you know, Kyle and DeMar both have 22 and 23, and they play a mediocre game, not an outstanding game like Game 4 where they go off for 67 collectively. You don't often see that. You see the big score, they're gangbusters and the best players on the floor for both teams, or they're absolutely awful. So, you know, is there a middle ground where this team can win, or do these guys have to be, again, the de facto best players on the court?
No, there can't be any middle ground. I mean, both of them have to play, you know, as we've seen them play, their best games and do it together. I mean, when they have a great game together, I mean, the Raptors have, you know, been virtually unstoppable. That's how good they've been. But you also need that, you know, you mentioned Bismack Biyombo. He's got to be the Biz that's getting every missed shot, every rebound, contesting shots, blocking shots, you name it. He's got to be doing that. And they need somebody else, whether it's Patterson, whether it's Ross, Corey Joseph. They need another score, and then who knows what happens with Valanciunas. I mean, he may get some spot duty. That's, you know, going to be completely up to Dwayne Casey to determine, you know, if there's a fit, depending on matchups and so forth. But, you know, one of the things I said in the game the other night, if the big fella's out there, and the big don't just make him run up and down the floor. If he's out there, throw it in and see if you can get buckets and foul trouble on the Cavaliers.
So let me ask you something. This is a story, and unfortunately it kind of was the prevailing story before this game and happened prior to Game 5. Is a local newspaper writer went ahead and decided to publish a story questioning the reputation of Damari Carroll and Corey Joseph because they were out till about 1:45 in the morning at a casino with security guards surrounding them, a couple of police officers that walked them back to the hotel as well. They weren't drinking. I wanted to ask you not just about the story, you know, but about, you know, what life is like in the NBA because of your schedule, because of the times you guys play, and Corey Joseph made mention of it, because of your sleep schedule. What did you make of the story and the subsequent fallout of it?
Well, it's ridiculous. And honestly, you know, NBA players live a nocturnal lifestyle. And this, you know, sometimes people that work 9 to 5 may not understand that or have a hard time understanding that. You know, for example, right after the Cleveland game, I flew on a team plane. We got back to Toronto. When I put my head on a pillow, it was after 3 a.m. And that's a normal NBA night. So your body's used to that. Your body is used to having, you know, late, late hours. And, you know, I always told my players, I don't care what you do. You do what you have to do to be ready to play. If you need to go to a casino for a couple hours and relax, I don't care. If you want to go out and have a beer, I don't care. You do whatever it takes. Nobody said they saw these guys stumbling out of the casino, you know, high on drugs, nothing like that. As a matter of fact, here's kind of an interesting point. I've been around this team for 21 years. This might be the best character group of guys I've ever seen collectively, top to bottom, of any team the Raptors have had in 21 years. And here's kind of the catch to this. There's a lot of writers that are around this team all the time, and a lot of these guys have been around for pretty much all the 21 years. And there have been some characters on this team. There have been some guys that you could write about. Nobody wrote about it. Nobody. I never heard about these guys. And now you're getting set to play your biggest game in franchise history, and two guys that the last thing you do is want to question their character are all of a sudden being called out. That's what gets my goat. I mean, you know, and the writers that are around this team, they understand this lifestyle better than anybody else. Hey, what are they doing? they're out every night having some beers after they're getting in their deadline columns. They're getting to bed at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. They're living almost the same type of lifestyle. And so they know. They know it's not a big deal. And if you know that, then you have to put everything you say into context. And that wasn't done here.
So let me ask you then, the person who wrote the story, and I don't want to get into naming names and all that stuff. I think people can kind of draw their own conclusions. But that person, you know, being around the team, because this is how I'd feel if I was a player, and you're around this team a lot, and you've played in the NBA, you were a professional athlete, you've been around reporters your whole life. Someone goes and starts questioning your reputation after being allowed into that fraternity, being allowed into your dressing room, being allowed into your lifestyle, and seeing them at their best and their worst. You know, as a player, do you think DeMar DeRozan and maybe even the Toronto Raptors in general after that story, specifically being in an Eastern Conference final, and it is a Game 6, and it is after a devastating loss, do you not then start to question whether or not maybe this guy should be allowed in, and maybe even reporters being allowed into that kind of inner circle a little bit? And do you feel betrayed a little bit?
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's what happens. So what happens now is all media kind of get clumped into this category. So, you know, even the guys that don't do anything, all of a sudden, you know, you get looked at a little differently because there's a lack of trust. And like I said, it's, hey, you know, do basketball players go and athletes go around talking about all the media that they see out in bars every night? You know, I'm not talking about any one individual. I'm just saying just a general statement. I mean, is a writer a professional? He may not be a professional athlete, but he's a professional. So if you're in a bar till 3 o'clock in the morning and you're drinking, these guys weren't drinking, and you have to write a column the next day, is that affecting your work? I mean, think about it. I mean, there's so many ludicrous, you know, things you can keep going on and on about this, and it does. It affects the trust of the players. I mean, if there's a story, write it. If there's not, it's like Kyle Lowry running to the bathroom. Do you know what's funny? Mm-hmm. The last game, I watched Kyle Lowry take off to the bathroom and come back, or take off to the locker room. I don't know what he did. Do you know what? Nobody said a word. Nobody. Mm-hmm. It was a scandalous issue a few games ago. The other night he runs to the bathroom and back, and nobody says a word. So what made it so important the other night? Because the time of the game, the score, who cares? If the coach himself says, I didn't even know if he was gone, shouldn't that end the conversation? I mean, you know, I understand 24-hour sports. I understand, you know, having to find something to write, something to talk about, but you know, if you can't talk about the game, if there's not enough there, then, you know, do something else.
Maybe, yeah, if you can't find something to talk about when it comes to the actual gameplay, who won, who lost, what's at stake here, maybe you should find a different thing to write about altogether, and that includes sports in general. Do you find that kind of journalism irresponsible?
Yeah, and we're seeing it more and more, and the reason we're seeing it more and more is because it's 24 hours. You got to fill, right? And
the team's relevant too, Leo.
Yeah, and you know, there's you look at a lot of guys, and again, this is a general statement. You look at a lot of guys in media. What they'll do is they'll throw something against the wall, right? Just throw it out there. If it sticks, you're hey, look at that. Remember, I told you that. If it doesn't, people forget about it. No big deal. Nobody cares. You know, it's like, okay, what was DeMar DeRozan? He's leaving L.A. He's gone. He's done. Well, you know what? You make that statement. It causes a buzz. He's got to answer a million questions. Fans are going, oh, this is crazy. Right in the middle of playoffs. And guess what? If he stays with Toronto, nobody cares. It was a statement just made. Yeah. If he goes to L.A., then whoever says it can say, see, I told you that. Man, I knew this was happening. I told you this back in April. That's what we're seeing more and more and more. Because you got to have the scoop. You got to have the story. And that kind of gets my goat, and it gets the players' goat. And again, it comes down to losing trust. And I think there should be a trust on both sides.
Leo, how do you skate the line of being critical of the team when warranted or worried about maybe potentially stepping on a toe or two with the Raptors?
You know what? I've been doing this for 21 years. And if you watch a lot of obviously, we're a Canadian if you're broadcasting a Canadian team in Canada, there's going to be a slight bias. It has to be. I mean, you know, everybody talks about U.S. not giving Canada any credit. Well, we're going to talk about the Canadian team, right? And if you listen to a lot of the broadcasts, hey, if Cleveland's kicking Toronto's rear end, you're going to be talking more about Cleveland. It's natural. If LeBron's having a 40-point game, he's going to be the focal point of your conversation. If the Raptors are playing well, then they're going to take the lion's share of the conversation. That's nature of the what you're doing. But if you listen to a lot of broadcasts around the NBA, when it's home, it's really home. What we've been able to do, and I can tell you this, in 21 years, I've had one conversation with somebody about something I said. They asked me what I said. I said what I said. They said, okay. And nobody's ever said, hey, don't say this or don't say that. And I think what you do is you understand the role. You understand there's a way to say things. There's a way to be critical. Like, I don't believe in burying coaches. People want to bury coaches. You know, I put a lot more onus on the players than the coaches because, like I said, as soon as the Raptors struggle, they say, fire Casey. Well, if you've got all-stars on the floor and all-stars aren't making shots, why am I going to talk about firing the coach? How about all-stars making shots? So, you know, I think you try to do your job best you can, and we've never had an issue of people telling us what not to say.
Well, and I think you take it from the professional to the personal, which that article definitely insinuated, and that personal being the reason why the Raptors lost, that's crossing the line.
Yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, that had absolutely nothing to do with it. If you talk to every single guy, you know, DeMar DeRozan's up to 4:30 in the morning. Like I said, I'm up late, and I may be doing nothing more than sitting in my room watching TV. Or, you know, my son is playing in Turkey. He calls me at 5 a.m. Turkish time because and talking to me about nothing. I mean, that's the lifestyle that athletes live. It's like I said, it's a very nocturnal lifestyle. You know, when Isaiah Thomas was the general manager of the Raptors, he wanted to eliminate morning shoot-arounds. He thought they were the stupidest thing because players they don't go to bed till 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. So why are you going to get them up in the morning to have a shoot-around when you could do all that later in the day after they get their sleep? And remember one thing, for athletes, the afternoon nap is the world's – I'm still on athlete afternoon nap mode. I mean, like I can be up all night. All I need is, even if it's 20 minutes, and I don't sleep much anyway. I don't weird hours. I'm up late. I'm up early. But if I get a 20-minute nap in the afternoon, and these guys will take, you know, as athletes, they'll take, you know, longer, you know, several hour naps. They're gold. And a lot of players are in that kind of a routine. And, you know, if you're not in it and you don't understand it, you know, instead of commenting about it, you know, Corey made the point that no one came to him and talked to him. That morning, you know, if you're worried about affecting your performance, well, why didn't anybody talk to him that morning? Hey, I saw you out last night. What, you know, and, you know, is the group of people, was the group of people police, security, or was the group of people your posse? You know, and think about it, that's what you're insinuating. When you say a group of people, posse is the big word, right? That's the word you use today. So, you know, that means a whole bunch of guys hanging around having a party. So if you're just saying, you know, a group, that's the first thing people are going to assume. Instead of saying security to make sure there's no problem.